like what that thing said. It reads on this wise. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be.
Oh, yes.
For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be.
Oh, yes.
Then two men shall be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. We ask, Father God, that you gather together our wandering minds, that you would cause us to meditate upon you and your word. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive from you this day. We ask, Father God, that it would find a lodging place in our heart, that it would produce fruit, that we would not be just hearers of the word, but doers as well. And in our doing, that fruit that we produce would be 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. We come praying that this day, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you have purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things, we do ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say, amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And just so for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk from the idea or the theme, be ready so you won't have to get ready. Be ready so you don't have to get ready. Here, oftentimes when we talk about Jesus, we talk about how he healed someone, how he made a miracle for someone, how he made those who were sick and afflicted, he healed them and cured them of their afflictions. How we oftentimes will talk about how he made all these miracles. He could, how he walked on the water, how he spoke to the winds and the wave, how all these things. He talked about how, we'll talk about how he fed 5,000 and then another 4,000 with just a few loaves of bread and a few pieces of fish. Jesus did all this. We'll talk about how he rose those who were dead back from the grave. You know, that one fellow Lazarus was in the grave 4 whole days. And Jesus calls his name and he comes back from death back unto life. These are just things that Jesus did. And we talk about these things that Jesus did. But oftentimes what I find that we don't spend a lot of time talking about is the fact that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the fact that Jesus died. Oh, didn't he die? You know, we Baptists and we like to run on that. And we can run a good lick on that, can't we?
Yeah.
Died, didn't he die? Oh, he died. But and then he was buried in a borrowed tomb. We'll hit that lick every day of the week. We'll talk about how he died, how he was buried, and then we talk about how he rose again. We'll spend first Sunday, matter of fact, this Sunday, we'll talk about, and we will always talk about how he died, how he was buried, how he rose again. But for whatever reason, we kind of give short shrift to the fact that he's coming back, and we don't know when he's coming back. We'll talk about a resurrection. We'll talk about how when we die ourselves, we'll go immediately into the presence of the Lord. But we won't oftentimes spend a lot of time talking about the fact that Jesus is going to come back. But here in the pericope that we have chosen to peruse for today, we find that, you notice how I work the peas, right? We'll find that how Jesus is talking to the disciples. And here, as he speaks to the disciples, he is speaking to them about questions that they had for him. This is placed within the week of his passion. You know, when we say the passion, we talk about the fact that, you know, this is the week where he entered triumphantly into Jerusalem. Yeah. But they made him leave and go to Golgotha carrying a cross at the end of the week.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the week, everything was Hosanna and hallelujah. But at the end of the week, they were crying, crucify him. Stretch him high, hang him high, stretch him wide. Let's go ahead and put him in the grave and kill him off in the beginning of the week. And isn't that just how people do you, right? They'll celebrate you just to celebrate your fall. They'll put you up so they can put you down. Here at the beginning of the week, now Jesus knows that this is his passion week. This is what he came into the earth to do.
Amen.
And so he begins to lay a foundation for the poor disciples. And I say poor disciples because Jesus spends a lot of time uploading into them a lot of information that they can't use right now.
Come on now.
And you can tell from their behavior, they're confused, they're lost, they're trying to make, you know, Jesus was a confusing guy on the first place because he came from some place that they didn't understand. He's confusing to us because he comes from a place that we don't yet understand. And so he begins to explain to them some of the things, just some of the things that he knows. You know he's God and Jesus is God and Jesus knows all things. But at the end of the day, he can't tell you everything because you can't handle everything he can tell you. I know. Sometimes, look, let me put it on your street. If you had any kids, you know that when they were growing up, their ability to comprehend a lot of the things that you said to them was limited. When they were babies, all you could give them was one word instructions. Stop. Eat. But no, they tell you no. And then they turn around and tell you mine. And you say share. And so you say, okay, clap your hands. And they looking at you like, what? You tell them as they get older, take out the trash. If there's something between the time that you said it until it hits their ears, that, you know, for whatever reason, it came out garbled, you know, we didn't give the instruction, what? But, you know, just think, I mean, but that's our experience with our children. But the same was true when Jesus is speaking with the disciples. When he tells them things like, the kingdom of heaven is like, they have no idea what the kingdom of heaven is like. All he can do is kind of put it in terms that they might be able to understand. But it's like when you say something is like something, it don't mean that it is that something.
Right.
I'm trying to put it in terms that you can understand. And so here it is. Jesus spends this whole week uploading a lot of information into the disciples so that when he does die, when he is placed in that grave, when he does come up out of that grave, when he then shows himself to the disciples and imparts to them the Holy Spirit, everything that he has uploaded into them begins to be downloaded into their lives because they had to first go through a Jesus who was beaten, who was spat upon, who was skin was ripped off his back, and a Jesus who was called a king, but yet he was treated like a pauper. The same Jesus who they made him carry the instrument of his death on his back as he was made to walk to where they were going to kill him. This is the same one who said that he was a king and they treated him less than a king. They treated him like a robber. They treated him like a thief. And just to make it so that you would understand, they put his cross between a thief and a murderer. They didn't treat him like a king, but when they put him in the ground, they thought that it was done. Now, there were some folk who were saying, you know what? I heard that he said that in 3 days' time he would get up. So you know what? They went to went to Pilate and said, Pilate, you know, he said that he was going to get up in 3 days. And so we don't want none of his people running over there taking him out of the grave. Could you give us some people who would, You know, he said, you got to watch and I'm going to seal it.
Yes, seal it.
But yet still, you know, God is God. Jesus is God. You ain't no man going to hinder God.
Come on now.
And you know, Jesus just, the stones rolled away and he come walking out. He folded up. I mean, he Jesus is neat. And he wasn't in no hurry. Because he folds up his grave clothes. You ever think about that? They're like, hold on, y'all roll away the rock. I'm busy folding up these graves. Comes out of the grave and then begins to show himself. But before he goes to the grave, before he is hung on the cross, he has a conversation with these disciples who will one day be apostles.
Hallelujah, of course.
Don't be getting ahead of the sermon.
Amen.
But in the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus leaves the temple and he makes his way to the Mount of Olives. And as he makes his way to the Mount of Olives, you can tell that Jesus is taking time with the disciples to speak to them, to let them know these things are going to happen. And so as he is at the Mount of Olives, he has the Olivet Discourse. And so while he's having this discourse with them, they ask him a question. And you find the question in verse 3 yes. of chapter 24. And it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things be. And what will be the sign of your coming?
Yes.
And at the end of the age.
Amen.
So before I get too far along, let me let you know that what the sentence sermon is, and the sentence sermon is this. Will you be ready or just getting ready? Wow. Be ready for the end of the age. As Jesus begins to speak with the disciples, he tells them what they need to know regarding here. If you read the verse, it's actually only two questions. But in fact, if you go to the original Greek, there are three things that are in fact identified here.
Yes.
Here he says, when will these things be? The disciples ask, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming?
Yes, yes.
And of the end of the age?
That's in Greek.
One doesn't necessarily mean that one will actually follow the other in terms of time or space.
Right.
For we find that when Jesus speaks in regards to this, he's not even addressing when these things will be. Because he tells us in verse 1 that what? No man knows the day, the hour, or the time.
Amen.
That's information that only the Father has.
Yes.
And he himself, Jesus says, he doesn't know. But he will know what will happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He tells them up front, I will be coming back.
Yes, sir.
And so Jesus begins to lay out here in this pericope his responses. Now in verse 30 and 31, Jesus states that he's going to appear with him and the angels. That those angels will go through all four winds and basically they'll cover the whole earth.
Amen.
And they'll gather together elect.
Yes.
And then the elect will be with him.
Uh-huh.
Verse 36 tells us that Jesus himself, in fact, doesn't know the time. He just simply knows that he'll return.
Yes.
And he tells us, this is how I'm going to return.
Come on now.
Now, because of the simple fact of the matter is that some folk, truth be told, are acting like Jesus ain't coming back. How do I know that folk are acting like nobody in here, right? I mean, we all sitting here, sitting on the edge of our seat, knowing that Jesus can come at any time, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, you haven't made plans a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years out, right? I mean, it's not like we're making plans, right? It's not like you made plans for retirement, like you're going to actually retire. Look, I've been sitting in the same seat. 5 years ago, I made plans for a retirement for this year. 5 years ago, I said to myself, I'm going to plant myself in this here seat. I'm going to do the things that I can do. The things I don't want to do, I'm going to do my level best not to. But then when my time comes, I'm going to be out of here like ghosts. And so when my time comes, that's all right, Sister Virginia. I'm on fire now. And when they opened the door, I ran out the door. And, you know, amen. And so you know, I'm not going to say, say I'm never going to be seen there again, but if I do, I'm going to have a big old cheese-eating grin on my face. And that's just simply meaning that what? I ain't got to be here, but y'all do. But the simple fact of the matter is that I put in place a plan. Now, Jesus is not saying that you should not plan for the future.
Right.
But in all your planning, you ought to be looking at the horizon. Because you need to be looking to see that when he is coming. And what Jesus is simply saying here is you need to lay a foundation for in the future.
Amen.
But the future may be now.
Amen.
For some people, the future may be now. We read a story in the Bible about a rich man who said that he was going to lay up money for later on. He said, I'm going to buy this land, I'm going to buy these silos, I'm going to fill them with grain, and then I'm going to be good. And then the next day he died.
Said, you fool.
Now, fool.
Right?
Thy life is required of you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what decisions you decide to make up for tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow will bring.
Amen.
But yet and still, we live our lives not for the moment, or I should take it that some people do live their lives for the moment, but at the end of the day, while we should be mindful of the moment, remember that there is a future that's coming.
Eternity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that future that's coming, it just won't be one day, but it will be a day after another day, called eternity, called forever and ever and ever. And I keep reminding my friends that, you know what, if you're good and you eat all the yogurt that you can and work out and run around the building, you might be able to push your body to maybe 120 years, maybe. But how long are you going to be dead? Forever and ever and ever. And you're going to do that without eating no Greek yogurt. Because that's the nature of the spirit. And so what oftentimes we don't understand and sometimes we don't realize is that what is the most important decision that you can make is the decision that hangs on your eternity. Was in Dr. Weatherby's class yesterday at this conference, and he asked the question, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? It is the most poignant question that any human being can be asked. And so we ask this question, I ask this question just about every Sunday. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And the sad fact of the matter is that there are 35 million people within the state of California who have not answered that question. Or maybe they've answered the question but have answered it incorrectly. At the end of the day, you're going to hear about Jesus one way or the other.
Well,
the question is what you going to do about Jesus when you hear about Jesus.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, he coming back.
Yes.
Ain't no question of if he's coming back.
When?
The question is when he's coming
back.
And so if the question is when he's coming back, why do you keep living like you? If it's an if.
Come on now.
Got 2 seconds.
The end of the age is not coming when you think.
That's right.
How many will read the previous passage and say that the signs provided are not specific? You know, there's always been earthquakes.
Come on, now, teach.
There's always been rumors of wars.
Teach.
There's always been wars. So, I mean, look, there's been earthquakes in places, in diverse places. It tripped me out when I heard that there was an earthquake in Oklahoma. I was like, Oklahoma, they had an earthquake in Oklahoma. They had an earthquake. They've had plural earthquakes in Oklahoma. Now, if you know anything about Oklahoma,
flat.
Ain't no mountains there, ain't nothing shutting up out of the ground. Amen, because you know that's how a lot of the mountains are formed, right? They're formed from tectonic plates. Look, I'm giving you a geology lesson. The tectonic plates will come together and they'll push up.
Amen.
And as they push up, they begin to form mountains and mountain ranges. Ain't no mountain ranges in Oklahoma. It's all flat. But then, why is the earth shaking? Because there'll be earthquakes in diverse places.
Different, yes.
And then you find that people are spending their time trying to figure out, okay, when we see these signs, yeah, there are signs, But they're not the type of signs that you're going to be using to try and figure out when Jesus comes. Why are you trying to figure out something that Jesus don't even know? Come on, preacher.
Come on, Pastor.
Jesus tell you up front, I don't even know. How are you going to figure it out? But yet still you find that individuals are trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. Why? If you just simply be ready, you ain't got to get ready. But I know folk, see, I know how folk do. See, if I can figure out when somebody is coming, I'm going to act like a heathen up until the point that they show.
Right.
I'm going to drink all that I can drink, smoke all that I can smoke, lay up with all the people I can lay up with, male or female or question mark. I don't care. Right? And then if I know that Jesus ain't going to look, if I know that Jesus is coming October 25th, 2019, then I know up until about October 19th, because I figure I want to be good for a little while. I'm awake. But isn't that true? I mean, we see that in real life.
Right?
You get a bill. You get a bill.
Right?
It ain't due until next month. Matter of fact, I got a bill from DWP.
Right?
It ain't due until next month. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, I can do some other stuff with the other money until next month. I ain't got to pay that until next month. Right?
Right.
So, you know, I do some other stuff and then, you know, I got scammed by the... Can I tell you about how I got scammed by the scammers? Y'all want to know how I got scammed? Look, somebody can call the phone that I give my creditors. And they said, look, y'all like, he got a phone that he... Yeah, y'all do the same. They called and they left a message and said, if you don't pay your bill, your power is going to be turned off. But don't go to the office.
Yeah.
Go to the CVS.
Yeah.
Get you a card. But see, I didn't listen to all that. I just heard your bill's going to be cut off if you don't pay the bill. I immediately told my daughter, okay, you hold down the fort. If somebody come by here, let them know I went to the office to pay them. Right? So I get to the office, and there's a fella there, and you know now they got it where you got to press buttons. You know, there's a big screen. You know, before you can just walk up in there, stand in the line, and, you know, get to the grouchy person who take your money. Right? Now you can, like, punch it. It's like being in the DMV. You know, it's like you getting a ticket and everything. So I get my ticket, and there's a young man there, and I said, well, I got a phone call, and is some way I can cut? Because, you know, I'm always trying to look for a way. Can I just get to the front of the line some kind of way? Because they said it was coming to turn off my bill. They said, sir, we don't call you with that. For real? He said, yeah, we don't call you with that. That's a scam. I got scammed. Because I burned up my good gas to pay up bills. Then I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know this ain't due until next month. I'm running in here to the DWP, and I'm like, okay, well, I got to get this done, because they say they're going to turn it off in 30 minutes. They say, sir, if we're going to turn off your power, we're going to let you know well ahead of time that we're going to turn off your power. This is all that I said to say this. When Jesus come back, he's already told you, I'm coming back. He tells them even before he gets to, when they say that Jesus is over here or over there, don't listen,
because
I'm not going to be there.
Don't go.
He said, we saw him in Australia. People hopping on planes, flying to Australia, looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't go to Australia. You know when he show up. Why? Because when he comes, the heavens is going to open up. He's going to be there with his angels.
Yeah.
It ain't just going to be a private affair.
Oh, no.
Everybody going to know that Jesus done come.
Yeah.
And when Jesus comes, it's going to be too late for you to fall on your knees and say, Lord, save me. Because if you know anything about Jesus, he don't move slow. He moves quick, fast, in a hurry, in the twinkling in of an eye.
Barely.
Before yesterday.
Amen.
Jesus says, I'm coming back. Not only does he say, be ready for the end of the age, because the end of the age is coming before you think. He also lets us know that when he comes, it'll be too late to get
yes, sir.
He tells us, therefore, to watch, therefore. For you don't know what hour your Lord is coming. He said that he don't know. He said you don't know. You can try and guess up on it if you want to, but if I was you, I wouldn't want to take that chance.
No, no.
My thing is this. If it's available, look, some of y'all remember that free cheese? And it was good government cheese. It melted real well on my toast. It tasted just like regular cheese, because it was regular cheese. But some of y'all act like, well, you know, we don't want the government cheese because it's government cheese. Y'all refuse to wait in line to get the government cheese. It was free. And you know what? I mean, I took off my uniform and I went and waited in line and I got the government cheese. You did too. Amen. Some of y'all probably still got boxed up and frozen somewhere. But you went and you got it. But some people say, well, you know, it's, you know, I'm just too, I won't say bougie, I'm just too good for government cheese. You know, it ain't Brie, so I don't want them. You know, it's not Cavendish or Cavendar. It's not caviar. You know, is it crackers? You know, some of y'all get all bent out of shape. Well, I don't want no cheese because ain't no crackers coming with it. But many went and got it and got more than enough and went back in line and got a
second now.
But then there were some folk who just said, I'm just too good for free cheese. When was the last time that they had a government cheese giveaway? Was that one time? And you know you ain't gonna see one under this fella, even though.
Oh, no.
Amen.
For salvation, you shouldn't treat it the same way as you treat government cheese. Salvation is free for all. It don't cost you nothing except the time that it takes to say with your mouth and to believe with your heart the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
You ever think about it? Yesterday when we were in this workshop, Pastor Worthy said, sit down with your people and ask them three questions. Tell me about your life before you were saved. Tell me about your salvation experience. Tell me how your life has changed since you accepted Jesus.
Glory to God.
And by that, you'll learn who was saved, who ain't saved in your congregation. And then, you know what he said? Something that we do here every time I preach. He said, make sure they all say the sinner's prayer. I said, hallelujah. I'm the only pastor jumping up saying, hallelujah. Why? Because it's important to me from this perspective. I'm not interested in that fact in and of myself. I'm interested in that fact because it's something that's interesting to Jesus. Not interesting. It's important.
Imperative, yes, amen.
No, I kind of like that word. It's imperative. No, I don't even like imperative. It's needed. You need to be saved.
Amen.
You need to know, others need to know that you're saved.
Amen.
Because when you're saved, you ain't got to get ready.
Come on now.
You'll be ready. Amen. Oftentimes we kind of funny about when people come into our churches and, you know, they don't dress like us, they don't look like us, they may not even smell like us. But who says they're no less worthy of salvation than you?
Yes. Yes.
See, you want fish that are already clean. Already been deboned. You want a filleted Christian. Christians don't come filleted.
That's right.
They come with bones and scales.
Come as you are. Amen.
It ain't your job to debone it.
Come on.
Ain't your job to descale it. Ain't your job to even wash or clean them off.
Amen.
Your job is to simply give them the gospel.
Amen.
Let them know that there is a heaven to gain,
yes,
and a hell to shun.
Yes.
And once you give them that, if the Lord has his work on their heart, they'll be ready.
Yes.
And they won't have to get ready.
Yes.
That's my sermon. I'm done for the day. Let's give the Lord a hand. Word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still coming to a saving knowledge. Just for these brief moments that I have expounded to you the Word of God, there is a decision that must be made. Some of us have already responded, but then there may be some who have yet to respond. The Lord will hold me responsible for every soul that is under my care. For every sermon that I preach, I must give you the opportunity to make a decision.
Yes.
Stand with me, if you will.